actually hold an apple for him to shoot. And so one of the TV news correspondents stepped up from ABC and held the apple. He said, "I want you to hold the apple about waist high for me." And he stood 30 yards away, waist high, and everybody's watching this. Daryl Pace takes aim, and he nails the apple, blows the apple apart, hits the bullseye behind the apple, 30 yards. And, everybody is amazed. And so a little bit later, the cameraman for the reporter comes up to him and says, "Hey, I'm sorry, I missed it. Can you do it again for me?" So I'm not sure if they did it again, but, it would have taken a great deal of trust in the ability of Daryl Pace to be able to stand there and hold the apple for him. We had a nice archery demonstration here for our special meetings. I'm not sure if I would have been willing to do that for Gary Bill. He was missing the mark quite a bit. But this other guy is a little more skillful, I guess, professional. And that reporter trusted him to be able to nail that apple that he was holding in his hand. That element of personal trust is something that is essential to faith, to saving faith. And what we've been seeing here in the book of Romans is how God has provided salvation for all people, and there's only one way. And in verse 21, Paul introduces God's provision for our salvation, and it's in Jesus Christ. It's in the justification, the righteousness that God declares, that God imputes to our account. It is in the redemption that God has purchased for us. We see in verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. And that propitiation, verse 25, the appeasement of God's wrath, that all comes through Jesus Christ. And how is it that we make that our own? Well, Paul has already told us how we do that. It is by faith, verse 22. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Verse 26 makes the same point there. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The way that we make God's provision of salvation our own is by faith, by believing in Jesus. And biblical faith, as we know, is much more than just knowing those facts. The Bible says in James chapter 2 that even the devils also believe and tremble. And we know that faith is involves the knowledge of certain things, of what God has done. But it's a little bit more than that. It's knowledge, but it's not just knowledge in itself. It's more than just agreement with God. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus, and the first thing that he said to Jesus was in John 3, verse 2, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." He said he knew that. He agreed with that. And yet, Jesus had to explain to him that you must be born again. And he gave him John 3, 16, and a part of that discussion that he had at night when Nicodemus came. And Nicodemus needed to move beyond even just knowing that Jesus was a teacher come from God. And what was it that he needed to do? Well, belief. Yes, it's knowing, it's agreement, but there's that trust, that personal trust that needs to be characteristic of our faith. And that is really what saving faith is. It is the personal trust, moving beyond just knowledge about facts, knowledge about what the Bible says, to personally putting your trust in Jesus Christ? And Paul, in the verses we're looking at here this morning, wants to tell us about how that response of faith fits into our lives and how it fits into God's plan. And we see three ways that it fits here this morning. The first way is given to us here in verse 27 and 28. And there we see that the way that faith fits into God's plan is that faith excludes everything. Faith excludes everything. Notice verse 27. Paul says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Faith excludes. That's one way that it fits. It excludes everything else. People naturally want to add things into faith. They want to add other things to saving faith and take pride in those things. And Paul wants us to see that faith excludes those things. It excludes the forms of human achievement that we might rely upon and take pride in. Faith excludes that. This past week when our evangelist was here, we went down to Columbus, he and I, to visit Frieda Thompson. She was there recovering from her knee replacement. So we drove downtown. She was in a rehab place downtown. And after we were done visiting there, Brother Bill said, "Hey, can we go see Ohio Stadium?" And I said, "Yeah, sure. We're probably pretty close to Ohio Stadium." And he wanted to go see because the pastor of his home church is from Ohio. He's a big Ohio State fan. And so he wanted to tell his pastor that he had seen the shoe, you know. So, I punched it in to my phone. We drove by the stadium there. Well, he wanted to actually get out and go up and see it. So, okay, we'll park, go up there, and try to see it. So we walked up, and Brother Bill didn't just want to see it. He wanted to see the field and see it. And there was a mail truck that was there, and he thought he could see it. You know, the guy carrying mail in thought he could see it there. But we got up there, and there were bars across the door. Of course, there's no games going on when we were there on a Friday afternoon, I think it was. And so there was a student that was walking by, and he went up and said, "Hey, how can we get in here? We want to see this." And the student said, "I don't think you're going to be able to. They keep it pretty locked up." And he said, "You can go over to facilities or something. Maybe they'll let you in." And but we were excluded. We were excluded from Ohio Stadium, where the Buckeyes play. I found out later on you can get a tour, but it's like $100 a person or something to get a tour of it. And I think you have to schedule it, request it 2 weeks in advance or something like that. But we were excluded from Ohio Stadium. And Paul's point here is that faith is something that excludes things. It excludes things from being with it. And what is it that faith excludes? It keeps things out. It excludes any source of boasting. Paul says, "Where is boasting? It is excluded." Nothing that a person could boast in for their salvation is allowed to be in there with faith. It excludes everything else. Anything that we would take pride in. The upbringing, perhaps the way that we were raised, raised in a Christian home like I was. And, you know, I could come along and say, "Hey, I was raised a Christian, and my parents were Christians, their parents were Christians, and that must make me on my way to heaven." No, Paul says. Anything else that I could take pride in is excluded from faith. And we see so many other religions in the world today. They want to bring things in there with faith. The Roman Catholic may boast in his attendance at the Mass and his infant baptism, his last rites, all the sacraments that he claims that he is partaking of. Well, those are things that he would boast in, and those are excluded from faith. We see the Amish around here, and the Amish man. Many of the Amish folks, they're boasting, they're taking pride in their simple lifestyle. Nothing the matter with a simple lifestyle. But it's a problem if somebody is boasting in it along with their faith for salvation, because faith excludes that. It's excluded from faith. The Mormon is boasting in his 2-year mission trip that he has done. He's moved out from Utah, and he comes into Fredericktown, Ohio, and goes around for 2 years trying to win people to the Mormon faith. And that's just something else that he can boast in hopes that he will be saved. But Paul tells us faith excludes anything else that we could boast in. You know, people today might even boast that they're not like other people. They're not as bad as other people are. Over in Luke chapter 18, Jesus told the parable of the Pharisee. And he said, Luke 18:10, two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, we can boast in ourselves and comparing ourselves to other people. Hey, I'm not as bad as that sinner over there. At least I don't do that. At least I don't commit adultery. At least I don't do drugs. At least I don't get drunk all the time. Hey, that's just something that you're boasting in. And Paul says faith excludes boasting. Can't boast in anything except what God has done for us. So we see faith excludes the works of the law as well. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And that's something that Paul has already communicated here, that our salvation, our justification is apart from the works of the law. It doesn't involve the works of the law. And we're going to talk more about the law here in a moment, but faith excludes the works of the law. You know, there's been many men of God that have studied the biblical doctrine of justification, and they have concluded from the Bible that justification is by faith alone. That's the Reformation in a nutshell. That's why it happened. Because they discovered that the Bible teaches that. We're saved by faith alone. And sometimes people will say, hey, the word alone is not in the Bible. We can't say that. It doesn't show up. And, it's true. Justification by faith alone doesn't show up there. But this passage here tells us that everything else is excluded from faith. Everything else is excluded. And if everything else is excluded, what else is there? It's all by itself. It's alone. And this is one of the most important verses here. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Faith alone. Faith excludes everything when it comes to salvation. The words of the hymn writer Isaac Watts, I think, captured the teaching of this verse, of these verses, when he wrote, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them through his blood. When I survey the wondrous cross, I pour contempt on all my pride." Anything that I could boast in, set it aside. All I have is in what Jesus Christ has done for me, and my faith, my trust that I place for myself in him. Faith excludes everything. And there's another way that faith fits here. We see verse 29, 30. Faith not only excludes everything, but faith stands alone. Faith stands alone. Say, that sounds like what Paul's already talked about. Well, very similar, but notice what he says in verse 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Faith stands alone. You know, today in our society, in our culture, it's pretty well accepted that there are many ways to God, right? I mean, that's just what most people believe. You know, and you see that in all different kinds of ways. But you know, the thinking that, hey, it doesn't matter what religion you choose, they're all different, but they're all going to lead you to heaven. They're all going to lead you to God. And in our American society, that's pretty much well agreed upon by most people. I read of a newspaper column writer from Chicago. He talked about how he was a member of a church called the Church of the Asylumism. And he claimed that somebody got the idea that in a land far away, a world far, far away, there were people that, or some kind of beings that got infected. They ate some ranch dip that was tainted, and they all went crazy. And so they decided they would ship these people off to another land, the asylum land, and they could just be all together by themselves, and that was Earth. And the Earth is just an asylum for all these crazy people. And the guy said, that's the church that I'm a part of, the Church of the Asylumism. And part of his point was that here in America, if there was such a church, you know, it would receive equal protection as all the other churches, as all the Methodist churches, the Baptist churches, Presbyterian churches, independent churches like ours. And that's true. You know, in America, we have religious tolerance. We have religious protection, or protection under the Constitution for all different types of religions. I'm thankful for that. But that does not mean that they are all equally valid and equally true. And Paul's point here in verses 29 and 30 is that faith stands alone. Why? Because there is only one God. There's only one God. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Paul's point is there's not one God for Jews, one for Gentiles, one for Americans, one for different nationality, different gods. That may be how it looks like to us, to the average American. But the truth is, from the Bible, that there's only one God. Only one God. And if there's only one God, Paul's point here is that there's only one way to be saved by that one God. Verse 30, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. There's one God, one way to be saved by that one God. Faith stands alone as the only way. There's not multiple ways. The Bible says in the first commandment, Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Only one. God is one. And because of that, there is this one way that is provided by the one true and living God, and that's faith. Faith stands alone. Faith excludes everything. Can't add anything to it as a source of boasting. Faith stands alone as the only way. And then we come down here to verse 31, and we see another way that faith fits, and that is that faith upholds God's law. Faith upholds God's law. Verse 31, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Paul has talked a lot about the law, and Paul is not about to throw the law out the window and say it's no good. What he says here is that we establish the law. Establish means to confirm it, to uphold it. You know, our congressmen are required to take an oath of office when they become members of Congress. The Constitution tells us that people that serve in Congress have to take this oath of office. And what do they do when they take that oath? They are swearing to uphold the Constitution. That's their duty, to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And, I'm glad they do that. And do they always uphold it? No, they don't. And unfortunately, we find out that they also commit crimes, and they also don't pay their taxes. They don't uphold the Constitution sometimes, not all of them, but they're required to uphold it. And Paul is telling us that we uphold God's law. We establish it. We uphold it. We confirm it. Now, we have to be careful. We understand what that means, and we see even in this chapter, we do not uphold the law as the way of salvation. Paul's already said that back in verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And Paul's very clear that our salvation takes place apart from the law. The law, keeping the law, is not how anybody is saved. It's not possible. And yet, Paul says, on the other hand, we uphold the law. We uphold the law, I think we could say even from verse 20, we uphold it as a way that sin is revealed to us. Paul says in verse 20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. And, you know, in order for anybody to get saved, to know that they're going to heaven, they've got to know that they're a sinner. They've got to recognize, I have broken God's law. And how do they recognize that? Well, by God's word, what it says, here are the Ten Commandments, we've broken those. That's one way that sin is revealed to us, and we uphold it as a way to know what sin is. And as we continue to learn, even here in Romans, Paul will talk about the law more, but we see that it's also a guide for Spirit-empowered Christians. The law is a standard for living that believers who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, as all believers are able to keep in a way that they were not able to keep before salvation. That is another way that we uphold the law, not as a way to be saved, but as a standard that Christians should be endeavoring to keep. And so Paul wants us to know, here's how faith fits. It upholds God's law. We don't do away with God's law. Faith stands alone. Faith is the only way that a person can be saved. It's the only way that a person can lay hold of salvation. There's no other way that somebody can choose that's true, that will get a person to heaven. It's only faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Faith excludes everything. Every source of boasting that we might have is excluded from our faith, from our saving faith. There was once a photographer for a national magazine that was assigned to take pictures of a forest fire that was occurring out west. And so he was told that a plane would be waiting for him at the airport, and he would need to go and get in that plane and take pictures of this forest fire for the magazine. So he raced off to the airport and found a little Cessna airplane that he was to go in. He raced up and he got in, and he said, "All right, let's go. I'm ready," said to the pilot. And so they flew off. And the photographer said, "Hey, I want you to fly down in this direction over the fire and do it a little more, you know, to this direction." And the pilot said, "Why? Why do you want to do that?" Photographer said, "I'm a photographer. I take pictures. That's what I do. I'm going down there. I want to take pictures of the fire." And the pilot looked over and he said, "You mean you're not the flight instructor?" And somehow they were able to get out of the plane safely. I'm not sure how they were able to. But, you know, both of their trust was misguided. They had personal trust in each other, but it was misguided trust. They did not understand fully who the other person was. And that's the case with many people today. Many people think that they're on their way to heaven. Many people think that they're saved. But the fact is that sometimes our trust can be misguided, can be in the wrong place. We can be trusting in our own works. We can be trusting in the good things that we've done, or the family upbringing that we've had. But that's misguided trust. Ultimately, that will be an eternal disaster. Our trust, our faith, needs to be in Jesus Christ. Not merely in a way that is intellectual, it just has the knowledge, although we need that, but in a way that personally relies on who Jesus is and what he's done for you. That's the kind of faith that God requires. It's simple faith, but yet it needs to be personal faith. And when we have that faith, God says that this is what it does. This is how it works for salvation. It excludes everything else. It has to be alone. It stands alone. God wants us to see that ultimately it does uphold his law in the way that he explains. Perhaps there's someone here today that needs to take that step beyond just agreeing with what God says and knowing what God says, to personally trusting what God says about salvation. If that's you, you can do that today. You can do it in your heart. That's where the faith takes place, in your heart. But it needs to take place to be able to truly be saved from eternal punishment in hell. Jesus Christ is the way that God has provided for our salvation. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you've allowed us to come to you in simple faith. And we pray that we would understand that our works have no part in the saving of our souls. It's all been done for us through Jesus Christ. We pray that we would see this way as the only way, that each one here would take hold of that by faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.